You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
But if you want to pray God's will be done in earth, as it is in heaven, then you're bringing down days of heaven on earth, is what you're doing. You know, a day of joy, that's a day of heaven on earth. It is. A day of healing and miracles, that's a day of heaven. You know, where you've been through hell, as it were, and with the crisis that you're facing and the thoughts that go through your head, you begin to pray, you begin to seek God, and he drives out that darkness, and the light comes, and heaven comes down. Hallelujah. You know, it's been said like this, you know, when Jesus came and gave his life for us, what happened is heaven bent over and kissed the earth, and you got caught in the middle of the smack. Aren't you glad? Hey, turn with me to Proverbs. I got a simple message, nothing profound here. Brother Osteen used to say cornbread and beans, but we need it. I was just meditating on this week, and I know this verse, I can quote it up one side down the other. Maybe you can too. But if there's anything we need today, we need a clear voice. We need clear direction. We need to hear from God. We need to hear what God has to say. We've got his word, and of course, we've got the gifts of the Spirit and our own spirit that he speaks to. You know, God impresses us and leads us. I wouldn't know what I'd do if I hadn't heard God in my spirit. In fact, every major direction of our lives has been something God has spoken to us, really, when you think about it. I know when I got saved, of course, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And a year later, I had a vision of my hometown and a church there and people going in and out and going in good, coming out bad. And God said, I want you to do something about that. That was May of 1976 when I had an open vision. I was in church. I was at Lakewood Church, and I had an open vision. And I'd just been saved a year, and I hadn't got everything straightened out yet. I just saved, you know. But God called me that day, that night, called me to teach. I never will forget it. I cannot forget it. It happened to me. It's not an idea. It's not a concept, a doctrine. It's not a teach. It's not something I read. It's something happened to me. Are you with me? It was a supernatural calling, and he called me to teach. And I've been true to it. I have stayed true to that calling. And, you know, I saw these people going in and coming out and going in looking good and coming out looking bad. And this is a church. It just shouldn't have been that way. You ought to come out encouraged. Challenged? Yeah. Charged? Sure. Rebuked if you're in sin? Absolutely. But not condemned. Are you with me? And so, you know, we need to instruct, yes, and reprove and rebuke. I got that, but never demean, never belittle, never push down and smash down. Are you with me? Always with hope, always with encouragement that you're better than this. You can live better than that. You can do better than that. You know, God is for you. He doesn't hate you. He's for you. And you ought to leave every service, boy, better than you walked in. Hallelujah. You know, and that's been my calling. And he's never changed that calling. He's added to that. Called me to pastor a few years later, and in fact, we started this church August the 1st, 1982. This is our 35th year pastoring the church, International Outreach Church, and we just still preach and teach the same thing. God's good. Amen. God's good, and he loves you, and he's for you, and you can make it, and you can turn your life around, you can get out of that mess you're in, you can do better, God will help you do better, amen. And just those are clear words. Those are clear messages. You know, I know in my life I got a couple of clear messages that God has never really changed, and he didn't have to improve on them, and he didn't have to change them. Are you with me? Because when God says something, it's right. It's already right. But we got a whole Bible full of instruction that you and I can turn to in a crazy mixed up world. I mean, if you watch the news, you hear every kind of opinion in the world. And people that actually sound like they believe it and make a lot of sense while they're talking until you think about what they're saying. And you go, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. And these are educated people saying it with a straight face like it's the wisdom of Solomon or something, you know. And you're thinking, man, that is the nuttiest thing I've ever heard in my life. Where in the world these people get this? This is bizarro land. Remember where Superman had a counter? Had an identity, and it was Bizarro. Anybody remember the Superman comics? And Bizarro did everything backwards. Everything was upside down and backwards. That's kind of like the world we live in. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. You go out and live holy, and you salute the flag, as it were, and you believe in living holy, and you all of a sudden are an enemy and anti-American. Hello, what's gone wrong with the world? Where are we going to get a clear voice? Well, we got God's word. Thank God we always have God's word. We can always run to it. It hasn't changed. You can go back and look at it next week. You know, if Jesus tarries, it'll still be here. It'll be here if it doesn't tarry. But it won't change. You can get clear direction. And if you do what God says, God will bless you. I don't care what the world says. I don't care who's in office or not in office. I don't care who's in power in Congress or Senate or who's not in power in Congress or Senate. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what country you're in. It doesn't matter how old you are, young you are, male or female, white or black, Hispanic. It does not matter. If you do what God says, God will bless you. God will always do what he says. God will always come through. God is not a man that he'd lie, nor the son of man he'd repent. And so if you want some instruction, if you're a little confused about where to go and what to do, if you got a lot of voices running through your head, I would submit that you need to narrow them down and focus them down to God's word. And just do what God says to do. And let God bless you. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Hallelujah, somebody. Proverbs 4, common verse, you all know it, 20th verse says, my son, attend to my words. Okay? A lot of words out there, but you need to attend to his words. I always think of that woman with the issue of blood. You know, she pressed through the crowd, you know, and there was a crowd of people around her that she had to not focus on, but to focus on one thing, and that was getting to Jesus. And all that other stuff that just had to move, just had to get out of the way because she had one thing on her brain, she had one focus, she had one plan, one purpose. No, there was no plan B. There's just plan A. That's it. We're going to get to Jesus. And so she had to press through a crowd of people like you and I many times had to press through a crowd of voices and thoughts and words and people. No matter what you believe, no matter what you pursue, there are always voices out there saying you can't do this, you can't, this is not going to happen. And worst case scenario starts beating up the side of your head and you're not going to make it and this is not going to come to pass. And there's a crowd, a multitude of voices, but there's only one voice you need to listen to. And that's God's voice. There's only one. You need to press through the crowd of voices. Press through the crowd of thoughts coming at you and attend to God's word. In other words, don't give an ear to anything else. Don't look at anything else. Don't show up anywhere else. Just the word attend, pay attention, most modern translation says. The reason it says that is because it means come attend to my words. Show up where my words are. You know, some people, you know, you're talking to them, but they're not there. They didn't show up. It's like their body's there, but they're somewhere else. You ever had your kids playing Little League baseball, or before that, Pee Wee baseball, football, whatever. You know, in Pee Wee baseball, the outfielders, they're the ones that are picking at the grass when the ball comes by. They're not there, okay? And we'll say, the coach say, pay attention, you know. Well, that's what the word attend, the word attention comes from attend. It comes from being there. So you can actually physically be in a place and really not there. You know, where are you? You know, you ever done that with someone or you been that way? You're not paying attention. Brent accuses me of that all the time. You know, pay attention. I'm going, I heard you, honey. What would you say? I wasn't there, you know. But God's saying he wants us there. He wants us to show up, okay? Don't just read the words, okay? Don't just come to church. Well, good. I'm glad you came to church. That's a start. Now, get your spirit here. Okay? Your body's here. That's a start. But let's get your mind here and your spirit here. Okay? Let's attend to God's word. Let's focus in on what he's saying here. Let's really center in. I mean, I got that. I'm here, God. Here I am. Speak to me. Amen? I am attending here. I am in attendance. Check my name. Call the roll. I'm here. I'm here. Here I am. Amen? Yeah. I'm not thinking about lunch. I'm not thinking about last week. I'm right here. I'm right here with you. Amen. And it ought to be that way when you read the word. That's what pay attention is. Is just get there. Don't be so, I've done that so many times. And you read it. You ever reading a book or reading the Bible, I hope, and catch yourself and go, wow, what did I just read? And you'll back up and read the chapter over or the paragraph over again, you know, and you go, oh, man, okay. what did I just read? What was I thinking? And I go back and I read it sometimes two or three times because my mind wasn't there. I was going through it, but I wasn't there. I wasn't attending. So that's what he's saying. Pay attention. In fact, stop and go back over it if you didn't get it. Stop till you get it. You know, they excuse Kenneth Hagin, you know, preaching Mark 11, 23, you know, for years and years and years and years. Mark 11, 23 says, whosoever say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which you say shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he saith, you know, have whatsoever he saith. And he has preached it a lot. I used to listen to Kenneth Hagin all the time. One of my mentors, really. John Osteen, of course, is my pastor. And Kenneth Hagin and Lester Sumrall, they were my three heroes that I used to listen to all the time. Just stirred me up. But, you know, somebody asked him, says, why do you keep preaching Mark 11, 23 over and over? And you see, every time I hear you preaching Mark 11, 23, and he says, well, when you get it, I'll preach something else. Yeah. You know, he said, I keep preaching because you ain't got it yet. You know, when you finally attend and you get it, we'll move on a little to the next level, as it were. But God's saying, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. In other words, just like you'd say, what? What? You know, sometimes we zone people out, you know, especially husbands and wives. You know how you do that. You know, Brenda will talk to me while I'm reading, and we read it late at night. We'll get our Bibles out, and we'll read, and you know, at night, late at night. And Brenda's talking, and I'm reading, and then she'll ask me a question, which she's fine if she doesn't do that. And I have to go, what were you saying? And, you know, she'll say things like, am I bothering? And I have to go, no, it helps me concentrate. Keep talking. It helps me concentrate. I'm going to get in trouble now. But you need to incline your ear to his sayings. Yeah. To his sayings. What did you hear this week? Well, I heard this, heard that. Yeah, but what did God say this week? Yeah. You need to incline your ear to what God says. Amen. Like this service, great service. We need to hold on to this week, amen? Right. I mean, the testimonies we heard, the movement of the Spirit, the worship, the gifts of the Spirit, and so on and so forth. My goodness, that'll keep you going for a week. Well, that'll keep you going for a long time if you'll listen to it. Incline your ear to it. Mm-hmm. Amen? Hear it. Don't just let it go one ear out the other. No. You focus. It's like putting your hand over to your ear and zoning out everything else and hearing what he's having to say. Now, God's got some good things for you. He does. I don't know who you've been listening to. I don't know what you've been repeating and what you're looking at. But you need to show up and attend to God's words. And you need to incline your ear to what he is saying and not what the world is saying. You remember Adam in the garden after he sinned, he hid himself. In the cool of the evening, God came down and walked because he did that in fellowship with Adam in the cool of the evening. He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, well, I hid myself because I was naked and I hid myself. And God said, who told you you were naked? You know, it's interesting that God immediately went to the source. He says, okay, you think that's the case. Where did you hear that? Because I didn't tell you that. Amen. And so the thought comes many times in life, I just don't think I'm going to make it. I'm just, man, I'm just a shell of a man or a shell of a woman. I can't make another day. I don't think I can handle this. And you need to ask yourself, who told you that? Did God tell you that? Did God say that you couldn't handle it? Did God say that you can't make it another day? Is that what God says? That is not what God says. That's the enemy telling you that. And you need to recognize the enemy, and you need to incline your ear to God's word. Come on. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. That means get your eyes on them. Look at the Bible. Get the whites of your eyes on the scripture. Have a habit of reading the word every day. If it's just a chapter a day, that's fine. Or five chapters or ten or whatever you're able to do. Or, you know, but do something. If you have memory verses, that's fine. But just keep the word before you. If you just got a hold of one verse, it'd change your life. If you just took one verse and went over it every day, it'd change your life. But take a chapter, take a few chapters, and just go over it and really pay attention to it. Eat it like food, like bread. Just savor it. You know how you just love the taste of certain foods. I just love the word. I just love it. I love to read in different translations and, you know, and stop and check it out and see what it says over in that translation, this translation. And then I like to connect the dots. I'll read one word and I'll go, oh yeah, he says that again over here. And he says it again over there. And you start, boy, you just have a feast. You can sit down and just literally have a feast with the word. So let them not depart from the eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Everybody say keep. See, that word keep means to protect and to guard and to watch over, if you think of it that way. In fact, you know where God told Adam and Eve to keep the garden? Dress it, kill it, till it, and keep it. Well, it's the same word. It's the same word in the Hebrew. So it's just like they were supposed to cultivate that garden and prune it and keep it and watch over it daily. And if you ever had a garden, if you ever done any farming, you know, a few minutes every day is a whole lot better than just one day a week. It's the daily things that get you in trouble. In fact, your destiny is wrapped up in your daily agenda, not of what you throw yourself into once a month or once a week. No. It's what you do every day. That's what makes or breaks you. It's the habits that you make that make you. And so a gardening is the same way. It's just a little bit every day, just pulling a few weeds every day instead of a whole field of weeds. You remember when Jesus talked about Matthew, the 13th chapter, that he said the kingdom of God is like a man went out and sowed good seed, and in the night while men slept, people came in and sowed tares. Remember that? And then he goes on and talks about the servants came the next day and said, Lord, who sowed all these tares in the field? And he says, an enemy has done this. But notice the connection. He says, while men slept, an enemy came in. While we sleep, not paying attention, that's when the devil comes in and sows the tares. So we need to wake up to what's going on here. Amen? We need to guard the garden, keep the garden. In this case, keep the word. You know, when the Adam and Eve were run out of the garden because of their sin, it says he put cherubim by the gate to keep the gate. Same word, keep there also. So in other words, nobody got in that garden after that, did they? No devil got in that garden. In fact, Adam really should have been guarding the garden and kept the devil out to start with. He should have beat that snake right out of that garden. You know, that serpent that tempted him to do what he did. And he laid down his authority is what he did. He laid down the authority that he was given, and he lost it. You know, he tried to step into authority he didn't have, eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He didn't have authority to do that. He laid down the authority he had. He tried to push himself in an area he didn't have authority, and he wound up losing the authority he had. Wow. Don't try to push yourself in an area you don't have authority in, and be responsible for the authority that you do have, and responsibility that you do have. And we have a responsibility to guard the word, to keep it, to hold on to it. Don't let it get polluted. Don't let people steal it from us. Don't let people take it from us. We are responsible for keeping the word. You and I are, okay? God's given it to us, but we've got to keep it, and we've got to guard it like a treasure. Amen? Hold on to it. And he says, my son, attend, be there, listen, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear, center in, focus on what he's saying. Let them, his words, not depart from your eyes. Write them on cards. Put them on your dashboard. Put them in the mirror. Put them somewhere you're going to see them every day. A lot of you probably just need to put it on your refrigerator. I'm not pointing anybody out. But anyway, put it somewhere you're not going to miss it. Okay? Well, you will see it before your eyes. That's why the Bible talked about writing it on the post of your house, you know, talking about it when you walk by the way and when you lay down and when you rise up. Talk the word. Talk about the scripture. Talk about the promises. Talk about the goodness of God. Talk about this testimony we just heard today. Go share it. Hallelujah. It'll stir you up and everybody you tell. Amen. That's good stuff. And he says this, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. God is just trying to help you. That's all he's trying to do. He just wants to bless us. He just wants to move in us. He wants us to have a good life just like any father would with their children. But there are things we must do for that to happen. We got to pay attention to Daddy. Daddy knows best. You know, he knows what he's talking about. He is just trying to help us. In fact, I can remember my daddy's just trying to help me. I thought he's being mean. He was just trying to help me. He wanted me to learn some things. Are you with me? He wanted me to learn how to work and work hard. I always had a job, even, you know, at a very young age. And that stuck with me. My dad was a big reader, and he talked about reading. And so I read. Those two things I picked up from my dad, a hard work ethic and a love for reading, you know, and all the things my dad went through. And my dad didn't have a perfect childhood. My dad was not perfect. I don't blame him for anything wrong that took place in my life. If I did something wrong, I did it. Okay? My dad and mama fought their own demons, and you know the story. It's no secret. My dad was an alcoholic. My dad and mom divorced each other twice and married each other three times. In fact, my dad passed away. I got a lot of the legal paperwork, you know, and I've got three marriage certificates, and I've got two divorce decrees. But, you know, they kept at it. They kept at it. And it just, you know, and I don't blame my dad for all that. Yeah, he could have been better. Hey, you could have been better too. You know, we all could have been better. But I know one thing. Whatever my future holds, it's because of my decisions that I make, whether I trust God or not, whether I've called on God or not. And I got saved at 19, and my whole life turned around. Are you with me? And I all of a sudden became the white sheep of the family. Hello. Instead of the black sheep. But you're never going to go down this road of blaming your parents and blaming your past and blaming that past husband or that past, you know, wife or, oh, come on, man, come on. You can't undo the past. You can't go backwards. You can't unscramble eggs. We only got one direction we can go, and that's forward. What are you going to do? You're going to cry all your life? Get up. I know people that are 80 years old still talking about their mama and their daddy. They did this, and I was so messed up because they did this and did that. Well, I hate that. I hope you had some good parents. I do. You know, I wish you had a good family. But if you didn't, you got one now. You got Jesus. Hallelujah. You got a heavenly Father that loves you and is for you and not against you. You got a bright future. If you'll get in His Word, like He's saying here, you will find life. Hallelujah. And you'll find health. Praise God. He will bless you. That's the business that He's in. Come on. Okay. So He says, they, 22nd verse, God's words, they are life to those that find them. You know, not all words are like that. In fact, I've had words to crush me. I've had words crush me. Bad reports crush me. Are you with me? Things, you know, that happen in the world. Words can hurt. That's the biggest lie ever told. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt me. Are you kidding me? Some of the greatest hurt has come from words. But God's words won't hurt you. God's words will help you. So why not put this on your plate? Why are you doing piling up your plate with all those other words when you need to be piling up your plate with God's words? And finally, sit down and get you a good meal that'll do you some good, that'll help you. Yeah. Eat something that's going to quit putting sand in your gas tank. You know, quit putting all that junk inside of you and listen to everything everybody says and, you know, and paying attention to what everybody says. And, oh, come on, you need to consider the source. And God's the source we need to be going to. Amen? Hey, Isaiah 48, and I'll close this out. I don't get through. I just quit. Isaiah 48, along the same lines. Okay. This helping you? Yeah. You going to walk out better than you walked in? Yeah. Good. I have done my job. I've been faithful to the heavenly calling. No, Isaiah 48:17. Listen to this. Now, and you'll find this all through the Scripture. Even the Old Testament, where it seems like God does bad things to people, which I don't believe He does, if you'll examine it and go through it carefully, you'll see that they rejected God, that they left God, that they brought this on themselves, that their sins brought this on them. Right. Are you with me? And we are our own worst enemy, but we also can be our best ally, our best friend, if we can just get in the Word and get straightened out. Isaiah 48:17, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer. Ooh, I like that. God is my Redeemer. He redeems me, hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord that teaches you to profit. In other words, if you'll listen to God, He'll help you. You'll succeed. You'll start succeeding in your marriage. You'll start succeeding in your business. Doesn't mean you won't have setbacks. Doesn't mean you won't have challenges. Doesn't mean you won't have opposition. But you know, when it's all over, you'll still be standing. Amen? Amen. You'll still be standing. I've had crisis. We've all had crisis. You have, and I have too. But you know, here I am, still here, still standing. Hallelujah. Kids all serving God. Hallelujah. Whew. Man, I'd rather have that than all the money in the world. And I believe God wants to bless me financially. I believe in prosperity. But I'd rather have that than all the money in the world. All my family still loves me. Hallelujah. We had Dylan over at the house, you know, came over, and Dylan and I went out fishing, and he caught one and I didn't. In the pond, and he mowed the yard out back, spent the night last night going home with us. I mean, my grandkids, they just love being around us. We were kidding about when we get older, you know, when Dylan gets older and gets married, you know, you reckon he'll still come around. He's sitting in the back seat, and we're talking real loud, you know. And I go, Dylan, he'll always come over and see us. He loves us. What are you talking about? You know, and our grandkids do love us. Now, we love our grandkids. We love our kids. And that's the way it should be.
Yep.
And that's because of Jesus. And that would not have happened if I hadn't got saved.
Amen.
No way. Would not have happened. I wasn't going down that road. I was going down another road. But thank God I got off of it and accepted Jesus, and he's been good to me. He's been great to me. And I got a church family that loves me, that I love, and I love this church. I love this church. I love coming down here. It's just the highlight of my life to come down here and to minister and preach and get in the presence of God with my family here, my church family. It's a wonderful thing to come to church, isn't it?
Yeah. Amen.
To find out you're loved and you're cared for and you got a future and God loves you and he's for you. Hallelujah. It's not all that bad. No. Not with Jesus, it's not.
Amen.
So thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord which teaches you to profit, which leads you by the way that you should go. Oh, that you had listened or hearkened to my commandments. That's what he's saying. Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from my eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Pay attention. Pay attention. And he says, oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Then had your peace been as a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Wow. So God's intent is always to bless us. That's what it is. It's to get us on our feet and get us on the right road. You know, you want peace? Well, there's things you need to do to get peace. You need to obey God. Amen. You need to trust God. In fact, Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee, goes on to say. You know, so if you follow the instruction, if you really incline your ear to these sayings and you attend them and pay attention, you know, and get your eyes on them and keep them in your heart and guard them and hearken to his commandments, your peace will be like a river and your righteousness will be like the waves of the sea. I'm just saying, pour it on, Lord, pour it on. Call me Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. Praise God. But I understand I need to change my habits. I need to have a habit of reading the word. Amen.
Yeah.
A habit of paying attention when I read it. Not just doing it because it's what I'm supposed to do. No, pay attention. Hallelujah. Get focused. You know, spend some time. I keep going back to what Jordan said. You know, they just got serious. They got serious, serious about touching God and pressing in. Now, you can have as much as God do you want. You can. It's up to you. It's not up to God. God already wants you to have all of him. But you can have as much of him as you want if you get serious. Hallelujah. Stand up, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. I did it. Maybe a minute over, but that's good for me because I used to go a little longer. That help you this morning?
Yeah.